Hello, I'm Kev Kiker, pastor of Booms Creek Baptist Church. We're so excited having you with us today. Jeremiah 29:11 tells us that God has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And I hope you'll discover that today, that you'll be uplifted and encouraged as we praise the Lord together.
All right, if you didn't get to any of that barbecue yesterday, we'll give you an opportunity. Today after church, $5. You can get a sandwich, coleslaw, and baked beans.
That's a bargain.
That's a bargain. Trust me, that's a bargain. Come on over and help us finish up, okay? That's the only way I know to put it. So you're invited. Hang around with us today. $5. You get a sandwich, barbecue beans, baked beans, and some coleslaw. First, I'm going to sing a song this morning. I love this song. And I was thinking about Sunday school lessons, was talking about how it was in Christ's day. You know, believe it or not, you had conflict even back then. I know that's hard for you all to believe, but there was. I was sitting there kind of running some numbers in my head, and I was thinking, 10% of the people in this world believe anything. 20% of people against everything. And the rest of us, we just kind of fall in there, you know. But it's important this morning to know what we believe. It's important this morning to soak God's word up in our heart. And I'm speaking to myself this morning. But listen to the words of the song the choir singing this morning. And I hope you have these words in your heart, and I hope this is part of your belief system too. Our question this morning, do we know what we believe?
The church is one foundation.
Money, can't you?
We've got others, men, will be gone on vacation, and we all need to pray for them, remember folks that have been in hospital this week, out again. Emma Elliott, right here. Josh Deal is home, and the surgeon, pray for him. That he got out so early, and sympathy to Joe Beal's family. Frank King passed away. Remember the others that are on the back of our bulletin. There are so many. God knows them all. Anybody else got a person? But special prayer. Anybody? Cool. Okay. Bobby Slater, would you lead us in prayer, please? Sir?
Our gracious, most kind, heavenly, loving Father, we come to you now thanking you for this another opportunity that we have to be back in thy house and hear thy word taught and preached. We just pray for these that have been requested for prayer, God. We know that you know each one and their each need, God. We ask thee to deal with them accordingly, God. We pray for our nation, God, for those boys and women that are serving our country that yes, still have this freedom. We thank thee, Lord, for the freedom that we have, that we can come out and teach and preach thy word yet here in this nation, God. We pray for the missionaries and the home and foreign peoples, God, yes, to supply their each and every need and watch over and care for them. God, we pray for this offering to be taken, God, that it might go to the brothers with thy spread of the gospel, God. Again, we thank you for the many blessings that you have blessed us with down through the years, God. Forgive us now, O Lord, wherein we have failed you. We'll never fail to bow and give you the praise and honor for it all. For these things we ask in thy name, for thy sake. Amen.
Amen.
Remains of entering his rest. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. That I would give you silver or gold, or that you would feel the fire or shiver in the cold. But I did say you'd never walk through this world alone. And I did say, don't make this world your home. I never said that fear wouldn't find you in the night, or that loneliness was something you'd never have to fight, but I did say I'd be right there by your side. And I did say I'll always help you fight, 'cause you know I made a promise that I intend to keep. My grace will be sufficient in every time of need. My love will be the anchor that you can hold on to. This is the promise, this is the promise I've made. Said that friends would never turn their back on you, or that the world around you would see you as a fool, but I did say, like me, you'll surely be despised. And I did say my way confound the lie. Say you'd never taste the bitter kiss of death, or have to walk through chilly Jordan to enter into rest, but I did say I'd be right on the other side. And I did say I'd dry every tear you cry. You know I made a promise that I prepared a place, and someday sooner than you think, you'll see me face to face, and you'll sing with the angels and the countless multitude. This is the promise I've made to you.
Chapter 56. Verse 1. Be merciful unto me, O God. Now we all need God's mercy, especially preachers. Amen. The Apostle Paul, you know, when he was writing those 12, 13 letters he did, I believe he wrote Hebrews, you know, sounds appalling to me, but anyway, when he was writing the churches, he would say, grace, mercy, grace, and peace be unto you. But when he got down to write the preachers, Titus, Timothy, and others, he said, grace, mercy, and peace. But he knew we preachers need mercy. Be merciful unto me, O God, for man would swallow me up. That's the truth. You found that? For man would swallow me up. You just do you in, but eat your lunch. He fighting daily oppresseth me. You know, in the Psalm, David, any time he reads something that he wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he just seemed to share his heart. He just seemed to just pour it all out there. Anything you feel and said that if you begin reading the Psalms sooner or later, he'll express something that you'd like to say. So it's so important to read all the Word of God, but I love the Psalms. Verse 2 says, my enemies would daily swallow me up, but they be many that fight against me, O Thou Most High. We have enemies. The Bible says they're the world, the flesh, and the devil.
That's right.
Mine enemies would daily swallow me up, but I'm glad that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. I know a little girl went to Bible school one time, and she was afraid of thunderstorms, lightning, thunder. And she learned that verse, what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. She went home and said to her daddy, she said, I'm not going to be afraid anymore, Dad. Because what time I'm afraid, I'll trust in thee. Verse 4, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. He's the only one we can trust. We can always trust the Lord.
Amen.
I will not fear what flesh can do unto me.
Amen.
Right. Isn't that great? Boy, this is shouting ground up here. These verses. Every day, verse 5, they waste my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. Verse 6, they gather themselves together. They hide themselves. They mark my steps when they wait for my soul. Verse 7, shall they escape by iniquity? If thine anger, cast down the people of God. Verse 8, thou tellest my wanderings. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. You ever have tears? We're going to be preaching about that this morning. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know. Now, don't you get this? The last four words here. For God is for me.
Amen.
God is for me. He's for you. Aren't you glad he's on your side? If you're a Christian, you're saved. If your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life,
amen.
Thank God. He's for you. If God be for you, who can be against you?
Hallelujah.
And I've highlighted that. I saw a witness there. Amen. God is for you. Today I want to preach on the language of tears. The language of tears. Somebody said that tears are a language that God understands. And tears are just an expression of our emotions. Tears are the safety valve of the emotions. Nothing wrong with crying, weeping. Now the Christian life, and I'm thankful for it, is one of joy unspeakable and full of glory. But having said that, Ecclesiastes 3:4, you know, in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, talks about there's a time for everything. You know, time for this, time for that. And said in chapter 3, Ecclesiastes. Wait, we'll get these on the screen. Got them? Okay. Ecclesiastes 3:4 says there's a time to weep and a time to laugh. So today, we don't want to be too proud to weep and to cry. Some would say it's not manly to do that. Somebody said that our eyes, we let our eyes leak occasionally. Our head will swell. Isn't that a good statement? If we let our eyes leak. Now, there's some things we want to consider that's in the Bible. Biblical tears that we want to consider. The language of tears. First, and I know you think of this too, the first thing is the tears of Jesus. Remember, there was three times reported in the Bible where Jesus wept, and I'm sure that he did more times, many times. I know he must have wept because he's called in the Bible a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And so he wept three times. Number one, he wept over Jerusalem.
Yes,
Luke 19:41 said when he beheld the city, he wept over it. Then in Matthew 23:37, we see the pathos of Jesus in this, because he loved Jerusalem. He knew that they needed repentance, and he knew of their rebellion. And here's what he cried on one occasion. He said, "Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how often I would take you under my wing as a hen does her chickens, and you would not. Oh Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, that stonest of the prophets, kills him." He said, "How often I would cover you up, and I would have taken you up." He knew about Jerusalem. He knows about our city today.
He does.
I believe Jesus would weep if he came to John and said, don't you? He'd weep over America.
Yes,
but we've got problems. We've got mammoth problems. Horrendous problems. So Jesus, he wept over Jerusalem. And then he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. You recall that?
Yes,
John chapter 11, verses 35 and 36. At the tomb of Lazarus, his friend, he was a frequent visitor. And you know, I love to go to fellowship with people, don't you? And because Jesus, he was in the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Well, Lazarus, his friend, died. And when he did, they called for him. And he purposely postponed, he deliberately delayed going to that gravesite, to that cemetery. And Jesus stood there finally, and he said three words. "Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth." Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. An old country preacher said it. If he hadn't said Lazarus, said there were a dead man in the graveyard today. I don't know about that, but deep theology there. But anyway, the tears of the saved. This is a great personal scripture. You know, he's concerned about your loved one when they die.
Amen.
Jesus, he cares. He cares. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. Shortest words in the Bible. Jesus wept. Two words. And so we look at this and we say there's a price to pay. Tears. The ability to love. Then he wept at the Garden of Gethsemane. Not only did he weep over Jerusalem and weep at the tomb of his friend Lazarus, but he wept at Gethsemane. Look at the book of Hebrews, with me, if you will. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It's not working back here, but thank God it's working for you. Hebrews 5, 7. "Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayer," this is Jesus speaking about Jesus, "who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared." That's a beautiful picture there at Gethsemane. Jesus, he prayed till his sweat became great drops of blood. Oh, the agony. Jesus said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup, this supper, pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And Jesus, he knew it was the will of God. Jesus cried in the garden. Jesus wanted the will of God performed in his life. Do you? Do I? That's the bottom line. The will of God is the most important thing in this world. So you find in the Bible the tears of Jesus. Then you find the tears of the soul winner. The tears of the soul that we need more often. This is kind of a lost, missing dimension in our churches today. Psalm 126, verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Someone preached a sermon, and he called it a dried-eyed church in a hell-bent world. A dried-eyed church in a hell-bent world. What a sermon. I heard on tape a sermon Dr. Ed Young, Texas Baptist, Houston priest. You might have seen where there's a funeral there this past week. Please. Anyway, I heard Dr. Young on that tape. He preached a sermon called Side Streets. Side Streets. And he talked about how we as a church can get sidetracked on issues and so forth. And he's talking about the importance of winning others to Christ. He said we need to get back in the youth business. The main thing, he said, is to keep the main thing. And how true that that is. You know, there were some people in the Bible other than Jesus that went too. Paul went. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Acts chapter 20, verse 31. Ready? And he talks about in this verse how that Paul, he said, I cease not to warn men day and night with what? Say, tears. Here, Paul there. Then also we find Jeremiah there. Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 1. Oh, that my head were washed, and that I might weep for the daughters. Oh, that I had my eyes were like water. And then King Hezekiah there. King Hezekiah, chapter 38 of Isaiah. God told Isaiah to give this message. Isaiah, I wish I had it back there to see today. Hezekiah chapter 38 and verse 4 and 5. Got it there. You're doing a good job up there. That's what you got to work with.
Turn around,
if you don't mind looking at my back. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, listen to me, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. Notice it says, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add to thy days 15 years. Isaiah, with Isaiah, told Hezekiah, God speaking, said, I've seen your tears. And then we, God's people, we need to weep about Mr. White. We're talking about a lot of things we need to weep about. And the main thing is, are we concerned? Tears speak of compassion. Charles Finney was a great revivalist. He said, we'll not have revivals again like we used to until we get Mr. Amen and Mr. Wet Eyes back in the future. I believe that.
Right.
William Booth, anybody ever heard of William Booth? He was a founder of Salvation Army, great organization. Somebody wrote William Booth a letter, said, we're trying to have revival. We're trying to have church. We're not seeing anything, nobody moved, no people saved. Mr. Booth, what could we do? Said we checked our doctor, we believe the right thing, we pray. What could we do? He wrote back a two-word telegram, just a terse reply. He said, and that telegram, try tears. Try tears. And so there are the tears of a soldier. How sometimes, I'm guilty too, we sit in our pews, comfortable, upholstered, air conditioned, green light. We sit in a haughty, unbroken, unbent, unbowed. We need tears.
Amen.
We need tears. The tears of Savior, the tears of the soul. Then there's the tears of those who stray. The tears of those who stray. Psalms 137, verses 1 and 2. First time I've ever preached to somebody, I'm back. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered the sign. We hanged our hearts on the willow trees and missed their own. There we find the people of Israel, how that they was in Babylonian captivity. And there they were, and they quit because they had no song. Their enemies said, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? This to me just pictures the backslide. And there's a price to pay. Serving God's not a game, is it?
Amen.
This was amplified in the life of Israel. Every time they got in trouble, and this is a lesson for us, every time Israel got in trouble, it was because they failed to believe God. He was faithful. And so they're down there in the house of bondage, you could call it. And they shed bitter tears. There's a price. Listen, if we go against God, there's a price for rebellion. You're going to pay it. And it's a high price for the backslider. The Bible says the backslider is filled with all of his ways. We better stay close to God these days. Folks, I tell you, we need to draw nigh unto God. He'll draw nigh unto us. There's the tears of the backslider. Tears of those who stray. And then there's the tears of joy. Aren't you thankful for tears of joy? When we weep because of what God has done, we ought to be so happy. I mean, we ought to just be ridiculously happy when a soul gets saved.
Maybe.
Somebody comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, we ought to praise God. And in these verses, we see that there were tears. As there will be when we go away from God. And we don't lose, when we go away from the Lord, we backslide. We don't lose our salvation. Amen?
Amen.
But we lose the joy of our salvation.
That's right.
Some people say, well, you get saved, there's nothing you can lose if you get out of the will of God. Listen, it's costly. It costs David, didn't it? You read Psalms 51, see the cry of David. And he said, restore unto me, oh, the joy of thy salvation. He had known before. Some of us maybe need to say that this morning. Lord, restore me the joy of thy salvation. Two things wrong with the person who says, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my salvation. Number one, you don't lose something that's eternal.
Amen.
It's everlasting. It's forever. You don't lose something that's eternal. Number two, it's not your salvation.
Right.
I'm afraid I'm going to lose my salvation.
Yeah.
David said, restore me the joy of what? Thy salvation. It's your salvation, God. Praise God. Well, there's several ways you could go here this morning in this sermon. There's the tears of those who stray. Listen, it pays to serve Jesus. It pays every day. It pays every step of the way. If we go away from God, it costs to serve Jesus. It costs every day. It costs every step of the way. The most miserable person in Johnson City, Tennessee, is not a lost person. He may be thinking different on this, but the most miserable person in Johnson City or anywhere else is a Christian saved by the grace of God who goes astray, who goes away from God. That's a terrible consequence. Then there's tears of joy. Tears of joy. In Genesis 45, verses 1 through 5. Oh, Joseph. Boy, I love Joseph. I'm telling you, he was done in by his brother. They sold him in the slavery down in Egypt. You know, put him in a pit. The Ishmaelites took him. There, these brothers, those terrible boys, sold his brother. Think of the emotions that Joseph could have had.
Yeah.
He could have had anger. He could have had malice, hate. Why did you forsake me, brothers? Why did you do me like you did? I spent all these years being apart from you. But now, Joseph, he reveals to them who he is. I'm your brother. I'm good. After all of you. And the Bible says that he wept the last. Let's look at this. And Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them. That's the brothers now that stood by him. And he cried, caused every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with us. Joseph said, Father Joseph made himself known to his brother. And he wept. That's where we want to get to. And he wept aloud. We're talking about the tears of joy. Tears of joy. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard him. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren did not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I'm Joseph, your brother, whom you sold in Egypt. One more verse. Now, therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God has sent me before you to preserve life, to bring prosperity. Oh, Joseph, he didn't demand to understand why he's going to do it. He didn't bow to bitterness. He didn't fail to be faithful because he was God's man. There was tears of joy. Good news. I said we need to weep aloud when we hear the good news of souls being saved. It ought to light you fire. It ought to fill your tank. It ought to cause there to be joy in the camp when people get saved. How do you react to trouble? How do you react? It's how you respond to something that makes the difference. Joseph, he reacted in the right way. Somebody said, well, old so-and-so, he just did this to me. He hurt me. Well, listen. Think of what they did to you. The man. You know the only way it can hurt you, what somebody does to you? It's how you react. How you respond to it. And Joseph, he wept aloud, but it was tears of joy. Then there's the tears of gratitude. The tears of gratitude that we all have. Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 40. I'm going to get through here short. I'm going to look that one up. Get tired of seeing my back. Luke 7, 36 through 40. And one of the Pharisees desired Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house. Aren't you glad he's friends of sinners?
Amen.
The day the same said. He sat at meat. And there, verse 37, behold, a woman in the city was a sinner.
Now,
here's a woman of ill repute. She was a sinner.
No, it's Tim over there.
And when she knew that Jesus sat at meat, the Pharisee's house brought an alabaster box of wine and stood at his feet behind him, weeping.
How do I turn the back screen?
Began to wash his feet with tears.
The back screen.
And did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the oil. Here is this woman. And the bystanders, the Pharisees, they begin to criticize him. They begin to say, well, he's, he eats with sinners. He sits down with sinners. And here you see a woman. She knew. She knew it was for people like her that Jesus had died, that Jesus had come to save. Timothy 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Timothy 1:15 says this. You got Timothy 1:15 I got. Let's say that together. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, whom I intend to save. Isn't that a good verse? He came to save all.
I'll try.
God so loved the world. Let's say that again. For God so loved the world that gave his own begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. So we need to be a grateful people like this lady was. Something began to rise up in her soul that this was the Son of the living God. People, God has blessed us. We have no right to grumble or complain, do we? We know we're so blessed. We should be thankful for home, for health, for new hearts that are changed, for friends, for family, for the faithfulness of God. We ought to be thankful, grateful for the Son of God, the salvation, the fact he's satisfied. How blessed we are. We need, in return, to give him tears of thankfulness and gratitude to God.
Amen.
Here's the last point. Tears of torment. The tears of torment. There will be tears in heaven.
God have mercy.
There will be tears in heaven. We need to realize. You know, sometimes we don't preach hell like we should. Preach with love and a grateful heart that he saved us. We need to speak of hell. Sometimes we've compromised, we've sugarcoated it. We've air conditioned hell as preachers. Hell is so much that some people don't care to go there. Hear it like that, like some of us preach. Hell is everlasting. Hell is forever. I heard Percy Ray preach one time up in Union Baptist Church, and he preached a sermon on when the lights go out. Percy Ray, Bourbon, Mississippi, at the time. He did, at the end, had him turn the lights off the church. He took a lamp. He walked down that aisle, waving that lamp. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. Please don't go to hell. He said, that's sensational. He had a lot of people say that. I tell you, we need to preach heaven, sweet hell, hot, and turn to long judgment. Sure, she's a savior.
Amen.
He hears of torment. Listen to this. In Western Washington, a young man was advised to get saved. He said, I'm working in the logging camp here. When the month is up and I'm through the logging, said, I'll get saved. You know, after that, he was swimming in the Tacoma River. He got a cramp and he cursed and he died. This young man was 1 month too late. A lady in couldn't sleep. She got up. She wrote in her diary, I'll get saved next week. I'll get saved. Next week, I'll give my soul to God. But she died. 1 week later, she said in her diary, I'm 1 week late, lost. A girl in New York was at a revival. And her parents asked her to give her heart to Jesus. She said, not tonight, but tomorrow. Tomorrow. Next night, she decided she was going to spend the night having sin. She her mother came up. She was put the ribbon in her hair, and she died. She was one day too late. A girl was in a revival meeting with her aunt. Tried to get her to give her heart to Jesus. She said, "I'll settle that when I get home." On her way home, there was a serious accident, and that car veered to telephone pole. She died. She was one eye. Proverbs 27:1 says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring."
Amen.
James 4:14 says, "Our lives is as a vapor that appears for a while and then vanishes away." Listen, we hang here today by tender thread, tragic thread. Souls in hell would give 1,000 words, have the opportunity for people to have even right here this morning to hear without Jesus. Don't go away without Jesus. You have the opportunity now. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Boast not." 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, "Today's the day of hope. Behold, now is accepted." Right now. Junior Hill, Southern Baptist Evangelist, told one of the most tragic stories that I've ever heard. He said it was in the revival in Fort Worth, Texas, and it was youth night. And there were some young people there on the back seat that were sniggering, laughing, and making fun, making a mock. And he told them, he said, "Now is the time to get saved. Don't take a chance." And you know, I don't want anybody to do this, but a 17-year-old girl took and wrote a flyleaf of that hymn, "Don't take the chance. Ha, ha, ha." Those eight of those young people, Junior Hill says they left out, got on a deserted road, two different automobiles, and they played a crazy game called chicken. And that night, nobody was going to be chicken. And they didn't veer off to the side. Seven teenagers killed. How sad. Clock of life is wound but once, and no one has the power to tell just when the hands will stop or later even. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is sad. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can receive. And I'm glad not only is there tears of torment, there's tears when we get to heaven, he's going to wipe away all the tears. He's going to dry away every tear.
That's right.
Yes. Revelation 21:4. God shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Former things are passed away. Verse 5. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." I've read these two verses at many a graveside service in person who was a Christian. This is a land of many tears. But we're going to the land of no tears.
Hallelujah.
And it's what we've done in Jesus that settles it, seals it, determines where we're going to be. The lambs will be in the endless eternity. Today, if you need to come to Jesus, you can. And I think we ought to fill this off today to pray for people. All right. They may or may not be here. They may be a family member. They may be a neighbor. They may be a working associate. Someone you know. I think we need to stand and just move properly by the Holy Spirit. Just come around here and pray. We've got a lot to pray for. We've got a lot to pray for. Obey the Lord. Take you in. I've decided to follow Jesus. How appropriate this is. I've decided to follow Jesus. I want our church to be what Jesus spoke about the other night, evangelistic church. church be vandalized, souls are not being saved, get all the burden in our hearts. We want to stand, kneel, and sit on the front seat, have our God move. And that's just saying others, maybe some might want to join this church. You say, I believe, Richard, what you spoke. I've been coming to this church. I just believe this is where God would have me to serve. We need help. Would you come and help us? Whatever the Lord says to you, do it. Say it on. Heavenly Father, I just ask us all here today to do something. That's okay. Whatever He says to us, may we do. People need to get saved, may they come. If they need it. Baptism, church membership, help them to come. God, I just pray for all of us, myself included. I want to be closer to you. Lord, I want the tears like Jesus. I want the tears of a soul and weep and cry for lost people. God, I don't want to stray away. God, I want to come closer to you today. Help us all. Help us all. Thank you, God, that we don't have to go to heaven. Thank you, God, that you've saved us by your marvelous grace, shed your precious blood, that we could be cleansed and forgiven, and fit subject for heaven. Land of no tears. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We sing. I'll be here to meet you as you come. Have a meeting. Make a decision.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this, dear God. I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, boomscreekbaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.